D-Mace, Vingen, and Darnik, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, David Janes here with you. Pleased to be joined, as we are every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, by our friend Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick. Hello, Hutton. How are you?
Gentlemen, I'm doing great. Hope you are.
We are. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. We were just talking about the first CFP ranking, so I want your opinion. What was your number one takeaway from the first edition of the CFP rankings last night?
Well, first off, to me, there's going to be a three-loss SEC team that's going to get in, I believe. It's not going to be over Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going to be in. And the path right now with all of these quote-unquote elimination games that we're watching, guys, with within the conference, I'm looking around these other conferences going, man, what – it's apples and oranges with the schedule. And look at Notre Dame's schedule. I mean, starting 0-2, they remained in the top 25. That's when we knew they're going to make the playoff because if they went out, and they're about to. I think there will be a group of three-loss SEC teams, a handful of them, that are going to be right in the same position that Alabama was in last year, that South Carolina was able to climb and make an argument for. We know what happened last year. This year, I don't – based on the emphasis that and Greg Sankey and everyone screaming from the top of the mountain about strength of schedule and tweaking different things for that room, I don't see how they leave out one of these top contenders in the SEC that's – they're going to lose a game just based on schedule alone. And, based on where Vanderbilt is, I would have loved to have seen Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech win to see what would have happened in these rankings last night. It's a TV show. I get it. They're making drama out of these rankings. But when it comes to Vandy, the last thing that they needed to happen, other than the loss, was for Tennessee to lose. Because now they need that last game against Tennessee to be impactful. And almost in essence, a play-in game in and of itself. They don't have that now. I think that that's detrimental to them and their hopes.
So I think we all assume, Hutton, that Texas is the team that can go 9-3 and still make the playoff because of how tough the Longhorns' remaining schedule is.
Right.
Outside of Texas, which other SEC team that could go 9-3, could stake a claim to a spot? Because Derek and I believe that Vanderbilt has to win out. A 9-3 Vanderbilt team, I don't think, is making the college football playoff. So which other SEC teams outside of Texas could go 9-3 and still make the playoff?
Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss.
That's true. I guess I was thinking more of like the mushy SEC.
I know where you're going with that, but like there are teams that I think would make a great argument based on how they finish. Let me give an example. Do you have the rankings in front of you, by the way? Where is Missouri right now?
I believe 22. I will pull up the rankings right
22.
Now.
Okay. 22.
Their upcoming schedule. They've got a schedule where if they were to rattle off three straight wins and Oklahoma takes care of business moving, Oklahoma's got a tough finish here too. They meet, I believe, in the final game of the season. That's another Vanderbilt Tennessee-esque type matchup right there.
November 22nd, Missouri and Oklahoma.
That is if they both could match up again. I don't think Oklahoma's winning out. I don't think Missouri is either. I'm trying to portray like all these different pieces to the puzzle that would be a three-loss team. The SEC would be clamoring for that run at the end to be impactful. And Oklahoma certainly would be a team that could do it. And again, they went on the road and won at Tennessee. I think that's big because I believe Tennessee is the only three-loss team that is in the top 25 this week. Is that correct?
Let me double-check that for you.
Sorry for asking questions live.
No, they may be.
That's okay.
I mean, but the committee and the AP voters still value Tennessee.
You are correct. They are the only three-loss team in the top 25.
So but Oklahoma needs Tennessee to continue to win. They need Tennessee to win at Florida. There are a lot of other pieces around the conference that need to take place. But I can see a three-loss team getting in, and it'll piss off a lot of people. But quite frankly, I can't argue against it. I don't think we're going to see the same type of matchups that we saw last year. I think the committee is going to abruptly adjust to how they saw the opening round games and some of the blowouts we saw.
Let's turn our attention toward the NFL trade deadline.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question that we have been discussing over the past couple of days. Willie and I are on one side. Derek is on the other.
Okay.
If the Dallas Cowboys would have offered the same package for Quinnen Williams, or excuse me, for Jeffrey Simmons, as they did for Quinnen Williams, would you have taken it, yes or no?
Yes.
All right, so it's 3-1, Derek. Mm-hmm.
Derek, so Mace,
no, it's 2-3 because Borgonzi said.
Well, of course he's going to say that.
So I trump ball y'all.
I know. I heard Borgonzi too. He was adamant about that. I believe him. But here's why: the trade deadline for the Tennessee Titans was another loss on their season. Right there, this is the New York Jets. They have 2 first rounders next year. They have 5, I believe, over the next two years.
They have 3 in 2027, if I'm not mistaken.
There you go. They have 5 first-round picks in 2 years. The Cleveland Browns have 2 picks because of the Travis Hunter trade.
Mm-hmm.
The Los Angeles Rams have 2 first-round picks in April's draft. The Dallas Cowboys, I'm looking at this going, that's how you get better through the draft. You don't do this by having a bunch of little late round pick, 15 second day, third day picks, and all of a sudden rebuild the roster. Like if you're building through the draft over time in a rebuild, that's how you do it. I'm not saying the Jets are going to get it right, but they did what they had to do in a season where they're overhauling. That's fine. The Titans, I'm not giving away Jeffrey Simmons. But you better believe that if I had that same offer, I'm taking it. Just based on where this team is, keep this in mind. The Jets, surface level viewing this, the Jets had pieces that other teams were willing to part ways with very high draft capital to acquire that they felt would be pieces to the puzzle of this year to help them make a run for it. Now, Dallas is Dallas in this situation. But what we saw with Indy is a great example. It's either they didn't get the offer that they wanted or they refused to trade certain players. If they refused to trade, that's what I'm saying. I'm taking the draft pick. If they didn't get offers that they wanted, that's also indicative of you view this Titans roster as a depth chart with players that are likely game day inactives in December for you. You know, so you're not going to pay the high price. I was surprised that we didn't see a little bit more movement, quite frankly, even with Tavondre Sweat, we can continue to go down the list. I thought we would see some movement, especially up front of the defensive line.
And Hud, you know, this thing is not over, as we all know. I mean, listen, as they did with AJ, they can make a trade during the draft and they can get possibly more than what they would have gotten, or they may get right around what the Jets were able to get for Quinnen Williams. But also, we forget that this team's going to be they're going to have a top 2 pick. So they can choose to move out of that pick if they feel, if these quarterbacks, you know, if you get you 2-3 quarterbacks in this draft that just starts to, you know, get on fire and they go into the process and they're the talk of the town, that's what I want as a Titan fan. Is that you have 3 guys up there that everybody wants, or at least 2 that everybody wants. And if I got the number 1 or 2 pick, I'm trading it away. So it's not all lost. I think people are looking at, you know, oh, they didn't make this trade, so they had an opportunity, they missed. No, there's still opportunities down the road that the Titans can capitalize, even the opportunity of trading Jeffrey Simmons, which I don't think they will. That opportunity is still there. Also the opportunity, because the way it's looking right now, they will have the number 1 pick. Them and New Orleans are running neck to neck. So if I get the number 1, I can get back those picks and even more that I would have got from Jeffrey. If I get a number 2, I may get the same picks that I got for Jeff. And I understand that people say, well, you could have got them both. I get that.
But
it's not like I'm losing anything. If indeed I still finish as a top 2 drafting team, I still depending on how this sort of process works out with the draft, I still can accumulate draft picks the way you do, the way you have been accumulating draft picks for years. Just make draft day pick, I mean draft day trades, and get those picks, and then you can proceed from there. So I understand what people are saying about Jeff and getting the picks. I get that. But if you didn't come to the table with what I was offering, then I don't want to talk to you.
Well, okay. I know where you're going with that. I'm not saying I would want to trade Jeffrey Simmons. I feel like they needed to.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I like Jeffrey Simmons, the player. I mean, he's just your most valuable piece. They traded high with some of the other guys that they moved off the roster. You know, like, I felt like they had to come away. I don't think they came away with a win. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there was an opportunity, especially at that position, to acquire some legit draft capital for them. Those are premier elite talented players at the top of the draft. To have multiple picks is, I mean, that's huge. You can maneuver up or down, right? And you can acquire more, whatever. And just keep in mind though, like you can trade before the draft or trade on draft day, but unless it's Jeffrey Simmons, if I'm a team, I don't need to trade for T'Vondre Sweat then, because I needed a piece now, and I can find T'Vondre Sweat in the draft with one of my picks already. So, you know, or Denver may be looking for a tight end. Like, the mid round to late round picks that they have or that they acquired is okay, but there has to be a piece to the puzzle that gets you going with a plan where you get some instant help for a quarterback that's struggling.
I think the draft is an opportunity,
and you focus on true pieces that can immediately come in and help you. Unlike guys that are eventually be developed, everybody's going to be developed, but you need we're the elite, just raw talented players. The Titans don't have many of those guys at all. Like, I know it's the NFL, everybody's a pro, but you know what I'm saying. This roster compared to others, they don't have that. They need multiple pieces to this. It's not just one first round pick that gets them over the top. And I think it's just indicative of how bad the roster is that they had one or two guys they could trade. They chose not to, or they just didn't get the offer. But we know the offer was there for the Jets to part ways with Quinnen Williams. And that's a premium price as well for Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, but I think this is a team. And I feel better knowing that this may have been a Borgonzi thing than a Brinker thing of not trading Jeffrey Simmons for this fact is that he understands that, I can get some picks for Jeff. I understand that. But where my locker room is at, I can't afford to give Jeff away for picks. I understand what the people are saying, and yes, he would have more than likely got you what Quinnen Williams got you. But we're not in that position. We don't have that luxury to do that, because we don't have any leaders.
What Quinnen Williams, he's a better player.
Yeah, that's why I told the guys yesterday, if you're offering me a 2 and a 1, I'm not taking it because Jeff's a better player. You give me two ones, then we can talk. But if you just give me a second this year and a one next year, I get it. It's a good, that's good, you know, from a good return. But I believe my guy is better than that guy. So you better ante it up before I even start thinking about trading Jeff. But the leadership for this team, talent, yes, they need it.
Yes.
But for the last 2 to 3 years, what have they not had? Leadership.
Ultimately, that leader, Mace, is going to be Cam Ward, right?
But until then, because we don't – people are not – sold on Cam Ward, really.
I know.
So, until then, we've told Jeff, you are the face of our franchise. That's what you told him. Now it's up to him to take that serious.
That's all they have to choose from, you know?
Yeah.
Like that, other than Cam Ward, which jersey are you buying right now?
I don't know, Keith Bullock.
It's just Jeff.
mean, and Bullock ain't even on the team.
I did look for Derek Mason jerseys on eBay the other day just to see what I could find.
You probably find one or two sprinkle here and there.
I found a couple.
Yeah, sprinkle here and there. So, but no, you're right. when you're talking about that. But I just think.
Yeah, I mean, okay. The other thing I thought was mm-hmm. Borgonzi's plan. Like, I still don't know what it is and the identity, like the descriptions of stuff. We could get into that later. Mm-hmm. But I do think with just how, just observing what's happened in the draft, this past draft, which was turned out to be, what looks like really good. And then Jeffrey Simmons and the comments made about it. It fits the Kansas City model. I mean, Chris Jones defensively for them, right? Like mm-hmm. I'm trying to piece together things that he's
similarities.
Saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I think if you just follow that with, again, apples to oranges with Cam Ward compared to Patrick Mahomes and how they started their careers. You get where I'm going, though. Like, yes. There are pieces to what Kansas City is made up with that are superior to the Titans. But the model of which he's following is that. That's what he knows. Mm-hmm. And on the interior is Chris Jones, who is the face of that defensive front for them that has been through the Super Bowl runs. But where are we? Okay, but where are we with 2027 with Simmons? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, the investment now means what? Yeah, I mean, hopefully he stays on the field. I am surprised they didn't trade Tavondre. I am.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow has been our guest on D-Maze, Vingan and Donick. He joins us every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hutton, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
I'm eager to listen to Silly Underdog Picks. I'm curious if anyone will be considering the Auburn Tigers this week.
Ooh, we'll,
you never know.
We'll see. Always a great tease for Silly Underdog Picks. See that guys. Is coming up next. Thank you, Hutton. 615-737-1025. I will be serving as acting commissioner today in place of the ill Willie Donick. Ill Will, we'll call him. We don't have any ill will towards Willie, but he is ill will today. Silly Underdog Picks is coming up next, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason. Oh, Willie Donick's not here. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan. Bad habit. Well, it's not a bad habit. It's a good habit because I love both of them. DVD is presented to you by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025. The game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. It is time for Silly Underdog Picks presented by our friends at Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Although Willie Donick is not here today, he is here in spirit, so we're still going to play the song. David, hit it! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another round of Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. I am not Willie D. I am Adam Vingan, filling in for Willie Donick, who is under the weather. And he has bestowed upon me this great honor of filling in as commissioner for Silly Underdog Picks. I'm here. Derek Mason is here. Apparently, Chris Sanders will not be here. David James just came into the studio and said that Chris Sanders is not showing up for some reason. And as acting commissioner, I'm going to take away 21.5 points from Chris Sanders for not showing up.
Well, you are commissioner for
that today. Is right. I am king for the day. But let's welcome in our other contestant who is actually here. Hal Gill joins us on our phone line. Hal, first of all, great job last night being called in from the bullpen, from the radio program, from the radio call, to the television call of the Predators game against Minnesota, helping our friend Willie Donick. Fabulous job.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you know what? I'm always there for Willie. I got Willie's back anytime you need. So I was happy to jump in. And, man, what a crazy game. I mean, like, I'm still trying to break it down, digest it. And now I'm starting to think about football. And it's like, you know, I got hockey on the brain. And it's there's a lot to digest in that game. That was a good one.
How is our friend Big Bill doing? I can't imagine how rough he looked after that game because he sounded rough.
He's an absolute warrior. I offered him a beer, and he said I can't do it. He's on the shelf. You know, after that game, you know, but you got to appreciate a teammate who pours everything out.
Yes.
You know, D-Mace, right?
Yes.
You want that guy in your corner.
Absolutely.
He'll empty the tank for you. He'll give you everything you got. And Willie's a warrior, and I appreciate him, and so. You know, happy to jump in. It was a fun game.
So let's recap last week of Silly Underdog Picks. We will start with Hal Gill, who had the first selection last week. He took the Cincinnati Bearcats, a 10-point underdog against the Utah Utes, and it did not go well for the Bearcats. They fell 45-14. This is not the first time you've gone with Cincinnati, Hal. What happened?
You know what? That's one of those things where I have to trust in the process, and I'm gonna keep making my picks, and I have to trust in my team and the players around me that are supporting me, and we're gonna get through this. But we're just making bad picks, to be honest with you. But that's the whole point of silly underdogs. It wouldn't be very much fun if they won all the time. Sometimes you got to take your lumps, and you just got to trust in what you're doing. And so I don't know if I'll ever go with Cincy again. Sorry, Bearcat.
Hal picked Cincinnati. It does not go Hal's way. I had the second pick last week. It also did not go my way. I took Wake Forest, a 10-point underdog against Florida State. And if you thought Hal's score was lopsided, get a load of mine. Florida State wins 42-7.
Wow.
I thought that Florida State, which was winless in the ACC, I thought Wake Forest had a good shot. Didn't happen. So I take yet another loss. So Hal is not alone in the losers column last week. We'll go to Chris Sanders, who did we get an excuse, David, as to why Chris Sanders isn't here?
I never got an excuse. I just got a text from someone saying, hey, he won't make it, and here are his picks.
Well, you know what? You know what? Chris Sanders has a big head. He normally has a big head. But he has an even bigger head because I saw the Tennessee Titans published a Where Are They Now feature on their YouTube page about Chris Sanders. So Chris Sanders apparently feeling himself and decided to big time us here on Silly Underdog Picks. As acting commissioner, I will talk to the actual commissioner to see if we can dock Chris Sanders his 21.5 points for not showing up. But Chris Sanders went to the well once again with the Stanford Cardinal.
Shut up!
Was that Chris?
Yeah, I'm here, Buster.
He's. I don't know what's Chris! Going on.
Perfect timing, Chris. I can tell all of our listeners that you picked Stanford, a 14.5 point underdog, to defeat Pitt, which did not happen. Pitt wins 35-20.
Hey, what place are you in?
We'll get there. I thought you were big timing us.
No, I was in practice. I got a game tomorrow.
Well, I did like the feature the Titans did on you, the Where Are They Now feature.
Thank
it was very
you,
nice. It's very nice.
You sound like you made me sound old.
You're helping the kids. You're helping the kids.
A lot of kids.
So that takes us to Derek Mason. Derek Mason had the final selection of last week's selections. He took Navy.
Yes.
A 6.5 point underdog against North Texas. And the Mean Green came away with a 31-17 win.
Yeah. Mean Green whopping machine. That's just what they did to Navy.
So we all lost last week. So the standings remain the same. Derek Mason,
you're
still in first place. Chris, I am the acting commissioner today, so I can make your life incredibly difficult. Derek, still in first place with 32 points. Hal Gill in second place with 25. Chris in third place with 21.5. And
yeah.
I am in last place at 18. So the order of selection this week, I will go first, followed by Chris Sanders, followed by Derek Mason, followed by Hal Gill. So, David, let's start with me. All right, I have the first pick, and I am going to an incredibly intriguing matchup, a matchup with significant college football playoff implications. Seventh-ranked BYU Cougars, 8-0, on the road at number 8 Texas Tech, 8-1 Texas Tech. A 10-point favorite at home is Texas Tech, but I will take the Cougars to defeat Texas Tech on the road on Saturday. So BYU is a 10-point road dog at Texas Tech. An intriguing matchup, huge implications on the CFP race. So I will take BYU to remain undefeated by defeating Texas Tech. That takes us to Chris Sanders.
Hey. Hello. Is it me you're looking for? All righty.
What you got for us, Chris?
All right, here we go. Since Adam is in last place, because, you know, that's where he stands, I'm going to go with Penn State over Indiana. 15.
Whoa.
Penn State over Indiana.
Yep.
Penn State is a 14.5 point underdog at home against second-ranked, undefeated Indiana. So Chris Sanders going for yet another big game here. 14.5 points at stake for Chris Sanders as he picks the Nittany Lions at home against the undefeated Hoosiers. That takes us to the third pick, Derek Mason.
All right. I am going to go with, I'm going to go outside the box a little bit. Okay. I'm going with the Demon Deacons of Wake Forest.
Bad call after what happened last week.
I know.
Bad call. But Derek is taking Wake Forest.
Taking Wake Forest.
I took Wake Forest last week. It did not go well for me. But Derek apparently did not see Wake Forest get bludgeoned by Florida State. So yeah, Derek is taking Wake Forest. A 6.5 point underdog on the road at 8-1 Virginia. So Derek apparently just blacking out last weekend when Wake Forest went to Florida State and got its butt kicked.
Mollywopped.
He is going with the Demon Deacons against the Cavaliers, a 6.5 point underdog on the road. And finally, that takes us to our main man, Hal Gill.
All right. Stop playing the song because my head is spinning, and that's just getting me excited. I don't know what to do. This is a tough one. I won't lie to you. This is a tough one for me. I have some options, and I do like some of your takes, but I really feel like I need a game, and this is killing me because I'm going to take a game that's going on the same time the Preds are playing. A 2:30 start Saturday game, and this is going to butt heads with that. And, you know, it's not a good look if I don't pay attention to the game I'm calling, you know. So I probably should focus on hockey, but I'm going to probably be focusing on Iowa taking down Oregon.
Okay.
Ooh, dog. That's a good pick.
I think
Bluegear, that's a good one.
Iowa is a 6.5 point underdog at home against 9th-ranked Oregon. So that game kicks off at 2:30, as Hal said, right when the Predators are taking on the Dallas Stars on Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. So Hal's attention will be divided. He can multi-view it, perhaps. But Iowa, a 6.5 point home dog against the Ducks. So let us recap our picks for this week of Silly Underdog Picks. I had the first pick, and I took BYU over Texas Tech. Texas Tech, a 10-point favorite at home against the undefeated Cougars. Chris Sanders, who showed up unfashionably late, took Penn State against Indiana. Indiana, a 14.5 point favorite against the Nittany Lions. Derek Mason, who apparently did not watch any college football last weekend, took Wake Forest to defeat UVA. UVA is a 6.5 point favorite against the Demon Deacons. And finally, Hal Gill, as you just heard, took the Iowa Hawkeyes to take down the Oregon Ducks at home. Oregon, a 6.5 point favorite on the road.
Gentlemen, I do like Chris's vote. I mean, I do like Chris's pick.
Thank you.
That Penn State, man, I do like that one. That one, I hate that. Yeah, man.
Well, we will all find out together. Gentlemen, good luck.
Yeah. I love you all, but you know what? As every week, I hope y'all lose, and I hope it's not even close. I hope y'all get embarrassed, okay? And then I win so I can come over here and brag, okay? And be further ahead.
Chris, thank you for showing up. I appreciate it.
All right, fellas.
Thanks, Conway Twitty. Appreciate it.
Okay, 615-737-1025. It is time for you to make your pick. We had a winner last week. Our representative picked Oklahoma to beat Tennessee. And our representative won tickets to see Bryan Adams, I think on Friday, at Bridgestone Arena. So if you want to represent the people, call us right now. Let me tell you what you can win. If you represent the people and win your pick, you will win a pair of tickets to see the Music City Madness, men's college basketball, Illinois versus Tennessee at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, December 6th. Call now, 615-737-1025. First caller will represent the people. We will get that pick and wrap up the show. Coming up next, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan here with you. Preds Insiders coming up next. Alex Daugherty of the Tennessean will join me, filling in for Willie Donick, who we hope to have back with us tomorrow when we are at Bridgestone Arena as the Predators take on the Flyers. Let's get our people's pick for silly underdog picks. Let's go to our phone line and welcome in Randy. Randy, welcome to the competition. Your selection, please.
I'm going with Auburn over Vanderbilt.
Okay. Good luck, Randy. Auburn against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is a 6.5-point favorite at home at First Bank Stadium against Auburn, which just fired Hugh Freeze. So perhaps Auburn can get the same bump that UAB did against Memphis. Sorry, David. But we'll see what happens when Auburn takes on Vanderbilt. And if Randy is right and Auburn pulls off the upset, he will win a pair of tickets to see the Tennessee Volunteers basketball team take on Illinois in the Music City Madness game at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, December 6th. So good luck to you, Randy. We've already had some winners so far this season. We hope you're a winner, too. So, Derek, just to wrap up the show, some more reaction on our discussion about the Titans trade deadline and Jeffrey Simmons, specifically. Zach on our text line says, I'm with D-Mace on this one. You get rid of Jeffrey Simmons and you literally have no playmakers on your defense left. Maybe they're planning on taking their high first-round pick and trading down a little bit and gaining another first-round pick from that. Why would you trade your most valuable piece? I'm confused at the point of trading the only player on your team with raw talent in hopes that you may get one or two in a draft, which is an unknown.
No, you're right. But again, I get why you would do it. And if they had done it, it would have been like, okay. It wouldn't have been as if I would have pushed back on it 100%. Okay. I would have liked to got more, but okay. But they didn't make it. And I understand why they didn't make the trade. Because they feel he's more valuable to them on their team than those picks would be to receive from the Jets or whoever. So, again, I understand why people wanted to trade. And I even said, listen, if you're just talking about, you know, wanting Jeff to win and, you know, potentially being part of something special sooner rather than later, then trade him away to a playoff caliber team. I'm good with that. But that's not what they did. They chose to keep him to make him a part of the team moving forward. You know, not just because of his play, but more importantly, too, because of his leadership.
I thought the most interesting aspect of Borgonzi's news conference was when discussing Jarvis Brownlee and why Brownlee wasn't a fit for the Titans. Even Mike Borgonzi himself referred to the trade as quote-unquote controversial because of how we all reacted. Mm-hmm. Derek, you were particularly pissed when the Titans traded Jarvis Brownlee.
Yes.
But Borgonzi talked about how apparently Jarvis Brownlee did not have the traits that the Titans are looking for when it comes to building their culture. And Borgonzi said that we don't have that culture in place right now. To take someone like Jarvis Brownlee, who we think needs work in terms of accountability and preparing for games and all of that stuff, We don't think we have the infrastructure to nurture a player like that, which I thought was an interesting admission. And Borgonzi also talked about his experience in Kansas City and the winning culture there. And we know that that's a winning culture because mm-hmm. the Chiefs have been the kings of the NFL for several years. But I will be fascinated to see how this team responds when it comes back from its bye week. I thought the timing of the trade deadline was appropriate with the Titans off this week. They come back next week, I believe, against the Houston Texans, who, by the way, I feel have fallen off the face of the earth. I feel like I haven't heard anything about the Texans. Yes, the Titans host the Texans when the Titans return from their bye week. Although the Texans did announce today that C.J. Stroud will be ruled out against mm-hmm. the Jaguars because of a concussion, Davis Mills will start at quarterback against Jacksonville. But it'll be interesting to see how the team responds. And I'm particularly interested in how the defense plays, because the defense did well last week against the L.A. Chargers, despite being shorthanded. But now it's even more shorthanded. Without Draymond Jones, Roger McCreary is gone. Jarvis Brownlee is gone. We'll see if Jeffrey Simmons comes back. But we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Derek. Denard Wilson, he's got a tough mm-hmm. hand trying to get the most out of a defense that is severely shorthanded.
And, you know, Borgonzi said he recognizes it. And I think that's why, you know, he spoke, you know, glowingly of, you know, what he's doing as a coach, because he understands that this ain't the ideal situation for anybody. Firing your head coach, you know, trading away defensive players, that's not ideal for a first year defensive coordinator. But these are the breaks, as they say. And he spoke of Denard, glowingly say he's handled it, and he's getting the most out of his guys, basically. So I don't know, like, what this team is going, what they can do moving forward, you know, because obviously the trade deadline is over. Now it's just trying to get back guys back healthy, especially on defense, because, you know, the one guy that I think can – stake his claim as far as being here next year, I think it is Denard Wilson, because of where that defense is personnel-wise and the guys that are hurt and the guys that have been traded. And if he still gets this defense to get up every game and play good football, they ain't going to win. But if they play good football like they did last week, then that's all you can ask for of your coach, because you have basically stripped him of talent, and then the talent that he does have is hurt.
It's going to be tough sledding for the Tennessee Titans for the remainder of the season. And I do want to point out, by the way, I wanted to mention this the other day, but I forgot. Mm-hmm. So before the season started, Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated predicted every game for every NFL team. And so far, mm-hmm. he is perfect for the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, wow.
He had them going 1-8. At the bye with the one win against the Arizona Cardinals. So I wanted to share what his remaining predictions were, but it's not loading, which is just great. Just great. That's why I'm glad the show is over.
The Titans didn't want you to do that.
I guess not. Maybe I'll have it in time for tomorrow. Nevertheless, we will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Bridgestone Arena, Flyers against Predators. Mitch Light will join us to talk college football at 3:40. Elliot Freeman will join us to talk hockey at 5 o'clock. We are hopeful that Willie Donick will be back and feeling better. We missed Willie today. We always miss Willie when he's gone. But Willie, we hope you're feeling better. We held down the fort for you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Preds Insiders with me and Alex Daugherty is coming up next.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that song. Don't you forget about us, because we will be back tomorrow. Same time, different venue, Bridgestone. See you later. Peace.